Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Raising the Remnant. I'm Whitney Stadman, and I will be sitting with you today. I usually record these at night, and so sometimes I catch myself saying, welcome back. What a great night, you know. But the truth of the matter is, I hope that whenever you find to listen to this, however God leads you to this podcast, that you would be blessed and you would encounter Him. I believe that that is the point of who He is. He wants the encounter. And I just pray that that's what this would be. I was reminiscing that this is my 8th podcast. And when I set out to do this, I promised myself that I would get 8 in before I really launched it. And really just because I felt like the Lord was just reminding me that I needed some time under my belt to build upon what He wants to do in this podcast. I mentioned in the very first podcast that I resisted doing this for so long because I want to do it right. I want to give you just the encounter with Him, a new perspective in raising our children. And so in my last episode, I talked about stewarding prayer. And the reason why I titled it Stewarding Prayer Part 1, and then this will be Stewarding Prayer Part 2, is I really believe that prayer is something we steward, right? It's a parable of a talent. You know, God gives you a word over your kids or gives you a direction He wants you to pray, and that's a dynamic stewardship of what we pray, when we pray it, how we pray. And so some of the things that I've learned in the process of prayer is you have some prayers that are like a lifetime prayer with your kid, and some prayers are that immediate need, right? But when I talk about stewarding prayer, I'm really talking about how I want to pray into their identity. Who does God say that they are? What does His word give them as guarantees of what they have in Him? And my prayer is that my kids know Him from a very young age, really, truly, and like really know Him. Not something cute that my kids do. Both of my children have made a profession of faith, and it's really real to them. And, you know, if that's not your story, I believe that in any place that your children are, He will encounter them. And that's really one thing that I pray continuously over my kids is that He would encounter them and that they would encounter Him. I think I'm reading through the Bible in a year with my 9-year-old. I really felt called to do that. And I'm not a very disciplined person by nature. That just does not come as easily to me. If you're my husband, the man does what he says and says what he does, and there's just no guile in him at all whatsoever. But discipline has not come easily for me. I'm a very extroverted person, and I like to do kind of the thing that, I don't know, that feeds that, right? And so sitting down to have some kind of discipline has been something I have had to work on very hard with the Lord. So one of the disciplines that I feel like the Lord laid on my heart for 2024 was to go through the Bible in a year with my 9-year-old. And I'm very selective in how I teach them the Word of God. I don't really do Bible stories in and of themselves. I really prefer to apply it to life. And so that's really how I've always done it with my kids, is when we're talking about something, I like to have us look at what the Bible says about that thing. You know, when they make an observation or we see something or we're doing something or they are experiencing something, I like to go back to the Word of God and pull out what the Word is saying about those things. And so this is really the first time that I've endeavored to even take myself through the Bible in a whole year. I was born and raised a believer. I think I said that in a believing household, and met Jesus for myself at a very young age. And so that's just something we've been working through. But in our reading right now, we're in the book of Matthew, and what has just like hit me over the head continuously is how much who Jesus was and the encounter people had with Him, that's what kept Him, that kept people coming back. His like reputation preceded him. And I just wonder sometimes, are we presenting a Jesus to our children through our lives, through our lips, through our decisions, through our obedience that really displays like the Jesus whose reputation precedes him? And I believe that when we talk about power and what we pray, I believe that that's such a good starting point for our children. It's always the encounter with God that will draw them into this deeper love affair with a king who is coming for a bride. And I believe that encounter can happen many ways, but what I try really hard in my home is to find ways to allow the Spirit of God to encounter my kids. And so prayer and what we pray is that's really where I start. That is the basis for it. What does God say about them? What is he saying his word is their inheritance in him? And how do I pray that the word of God that is living and active would encounter them? And so I'm going to pick back up where I left off the last time. And so I'm just kind of going through a list of things I've written down over the years and really meditate on for my children. The next one that I have written down here is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that you have been set free. And so I just pray right now over your kids as you're listening to these things. I'm going to pray and then kind of stop and talk through really a few of them that the Lord has highlighted. And so let's just begin. So Lord, we just bring before you the children that we steward, whether they're grown, whether they are young, whether they are walking with you and whether they're not. I pray that they would walk in and fully inherit and exhibit the freedom that comes from you as a birthright in Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:1. But I also pray that my children and the children of those who are listening would then be able, activated, anointed, and sent out to set others free behind them. I don't ever want that my children encounter the Lord and then that power, that authority, that freedom stays inside them. I pray that they would go and they would encounter you to others, that they would turn around and give out that freedom. If you have school-age children, this is how I feel like the Lord has taught me to pray. You know, I homeschool my kids, but I believe that the Lord knows where our children are supposed to be. And I have never felt that homeschooling is the only way. I just do not feel that way. To me, our children should be placed where God wants them to be placed. And so my husband teases me every year because every year I look at all my options and he always cracks me. He's just cracking up. He's like, why do you do this? He's like, why do you go to these, you know, forums and go check into these charter schools or go tour a Christian school or even a public school? And I always tell him it's because I don't believe that from year to year, it's always the same. I want the will of God to be fresh for my children, right? And that doesn't mean that it's not consistent or that it won't be homeschooling them. But what if that's not what he has for them? You know, just because I like it, just because I think it is something that he's given me to do and something I see so many benefits from, if he has a different idea, I want him to speak into that. And so that's something that I would encourage you, if your children are school age, I pray that God would put them where they will learn what he desires for them to learn. And that me and my husband and you and your husband or you and the Lord would know how to help your children by the Holy Spirit know where the anointing is for them to be going to school. If they're school age, so much of their life and livelihood will come during their school day. They're going to meet tons of people. There's going to be lots of new experiences. And so that is a critical formative thing in their elementary school years. And so I pray that we would know the where the Lord desires them to be, that they would learn what He wants them to learn. Because that's not always the same as what I think they should be learning. Another thing that I really feel is, again, related to identity and how you pray into the identity of your children. You know, I don't know if God has ever given you a sense of who that child is supposed to be or what He says over that kid or what kind of gifting that child has. And I just would encourage you, if there are men and women who are of the faith, who you feel like there is a parallel with, even from the Bible, right? That I feel like we can pray into the identity of our children by also looking at the heroes of the faith who have gone before in the Word of God, right? And so depending on what your children's gifting is, you know, study the life of the men and women that you feel like your children mimic or are similar to, even within the Word of God. Study their life. Study what their heart's cry was. Study what God put them through in order to become the heroes of the faith that they are. Study what their downfalls were. And because I really believe that God is a God of order, and although none of us are the same and never ever will be, there will only be one of you, and only one of you will ever exist in the world. And that's the same is true of our children. I feel like there are things that we can glean and pray through from the history of others that we really sense to be similar of our kids. And so that's something I definitely do. I really, you know, like that they would display the faith of Gideon. And that wasn't perfect faith. It wasn't that Gideon was totally convinced that that was the right way for God to go, right? He put out the fleece a few times because he's like, are you sure, right? Are you sure, God? Are you sure? I just want to make sure, God. But that man was courageous. He did do obediently what God had said. And once he was convinced that that was the Lord's will, he did it with everything he had. And so I like to choose people like that, that I can even pray through and pray over for my children, you know, that like Gideon, the Lord would be with them, a mighty man of valor. Wow, like if that could be said of my children. Yeah, if that could be said of my children, that the Lord would be with him, a mighty man, and he would be a mighty man of valor. You know, and that they, you know, like Joshua, that my children would be strong and courageous. And because the Lord is with them, you know, that's where the strength, that's where the courageous life, that's where the valor comes from, is because the Lord is with them. I pray that wherever my children go, they would bring the divine order of heaven into their realm of influence. That they would refuse to bow to the will of men, but that they would bow to Him alone, Christ alone only. I pray, and I feel like this is an important one, I pray that they would be co-rulers and elders with me and my husband in this family and in the world. And I just want to say, you know, in biblical times, there was a real understanding that your children were your assets, right? Your children would grow up and they would steward what came after them. They would steward their inheritance. They would steward the family even. And I feel like that's something that I want with my children. I don't believe that God gave me these kids to just grow up and move away and never talk to them and never help them, or that, hey, they're 18, go on your way. I've never understood that, because I just feel like family is is something that expands as our children grow up and become independent of us and become more dependent, fully dependent on God, but that they would, that I would be able to see them as co-rulers in the world with me, even while they are young. And that's a renewing of our mind that has to happen in order to do that, right? They're 6 years old. There's only certain things they can do. They're 13 years old. There's only certain things they can do, right? Legally, emotionally, sometimes spiritually, depending on where they are with God. But they are to be seen as co-rulers in Christ, right? That is the goal. We are co-rulers with Christ. And I believe there's a big impartation to begin to see our children as co-rulers. There are so many times that my children say something or do something or pray for me that I feel that there is so much power in activating them to be part of what we are doing. And there's so much opportunity for that and to raise that up as they grow. For example, yesterday, my husband and I took our boys out to a taco place. And we walked in and there was not a lot of people in there. It was a little bit later for dinner. And so there really wasn't that many people. But immediately when we walked in, there was a man who was cleaning, an employee of this taco restaurant. And the Lord just highlighted him to me. I just felt like I just noticed him. And so I just sat down and ate with my family and we continued on. And then at one point my son fell down and spilled his drink, right, all over this clean floor that this man had just gotten done mopping. And this man was just so caring. He came over and he picked it up and he got him a new drink. And he said, "Are you okay, buddy?" And just had this like sweet, sweet spirit about him. And so as we were getting ready to walk out of the restaurant, I felt like the Lord said, "You need to ask him what you can pray for him for." And so I went over there and I just said, "Hey," I said, "you know, do you need prayer for something?" And he's like, "No, I don't think so." And I said, "Well, can I pray for you? Because I really feel like the Lord highlighted you to me and just asked me to pray for you." And so I did, and that was great. And then we left, and then we got in the car, and my children and my husband were like, "What was that about?" And I said, "I don't know, you guys." I said, "I felt like the Lord highlighted him to me as soon as we walked in there." And I hear my husband say, "Me too." He's like, "I felt like I had something for him." And then my two boys in the back seat are like, "Mom," they're like, "I felt the same way." And so long story short, we ended up going back in and ministering to him a bit more. And I think that that's a place that it's like, we've got to allow them in because they were able to affirm what my husband and I were sensing, right? Like there was confirmation there. And there was also a training ground where now they are going to start to listen to some of those things, right? When the Holy Spirit highlights somebody to them that may need prayer or healing or, you know, what is the Great Commission? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and drive out demons in my name and heal the sick, right? And proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. And so it's like if we aren't allowing them into those processes together, I think that that begins with us seeing ourselves as co-rulers and understanding that we also have a place in the kingdom of God to be under the Great Commission and answering the call of the Great Commission. But that's just an example of how we partner with our children, that they would see themselves as co-rulers in Christ as well, and that they would move and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the you know, that inkling, that knowing that you get of, hey, there's something more here. And I just really believe that praying our children into being co-rulers and how we can help steward them into those places of leadership, even within our own family, is so critical. They are not just children who are going to grow up and leave us. They are children who will grow up and lead us. And we have to be okay with that as parents. And we have to begin to cultivate that even while they are young. So another prayer that I pray is that the Lord would give them knowledge and understandings and of all kinds of learning, and that they would become men who can understand visions and dreams of all kinds, that God would bring them into blessing with everyone that they encounter, right? And so visions and dreams of all kinds, that's Acts 2. You know, we are promised that. The book of Acts promises us that our young men will dream dreams and our old men will dream. I think that's opposite, actually. But there is an inheritance that we have in Christ through the Holy Spirit, that we would have dreams and visions. And that's something that's guaranteed to us. And so, again, I would say, as we're praying for these things for our children, there's another side of helping them steward what they've been given. And they can't do that if we're not doing that. And so I think I've said this before, but a practice in my home is that when my children wake up in the morning, when my husband wakes up in the morning, when I wake up in the morning, we ask each other, did you have any dreams last night? And if we can remember our dreams, which most of the time I can, after years of doing this with the Lord, I feel like there is absolutely, the Lord is speaking through our dreams. He did it all throughout the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. There was something about that dream life, vision life, where the Lord is speaking and meets us in. And so just a really easy way to steward that with our children is to ask them, did you have any dreams last night? And when my children can remember them, we write them down. We get out a journal, we write them down. Or sometimes I'll pull up my phone and we'll just record it. And then we'll talk about it. You know, did anything stand out to you? Did you feel like there was anything, like, how did you feel about the dream? Were you upset? Were you scared? Were you excited? How did you feel in your dream? Was Jesus in your dream? You know, where would he be if in that dream? And, you know, we start to just talk through it and pick it out and ask the Lord if there's more to that, right? You know, there's certain things that in the Word of God mean certain things, and there are certain things in the world that mean certain things. And I feel like through the Lord, that's where a lot of that starts. And I'll probably even go into that a little bit more of how I do, you know, just lead my boys in some dream interpretation with the Lord and with the Word of God. So I will probably do that in another episode. But that is something that I pray into their lives, that the Lord would encounter them in their dreams and give them visions. And then there has to be a stewardship where I help them unpack those things. And a lot of times, if you're not somebody who's like, you know, I don't think every dream is spiritual, I don't think so either. I can't even tell you the number of dreams that I don't recall or didn't stick out to me. Or a lot of times I'll write them down and I'll be like, I don't feel the Lord on any of that. But there are so many more times that I do. And I believe that that is a way that he speaks. And so that's just a really tangible way to help them steward the dreams that the Lord is giving them. Another prayer that I pray is just Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, that they would put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, they would be able to stand their ground. And after they have done everything, to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around their waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with their feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, that they would take up the shield of faith with which they can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, that they would take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we practice putting that on all the time. What does their spiritual armor look like? How are they equipped to stand in the face of things they're dealing with? And what is God saying about those things? So I'm going to take a break here and come back. And so I may do a part 3 in this space, because I just feel like that's what the Lord is saying. So I'm just going to close this out tonight. I pray that the Lord speaks to you. Again, I would love to hear what kind of things he has shown you and what kind of things he has taught you to pray in the midst of what you have been doing, what you've been given, and how he teaches you and leads you in the prayers that you pray over your children. Yeah, I would love to hear that. Yeah, so Lord, I just pray for those who are here, for those who are listening, that you would speak to them about the identity that they have, that you have also given them to their children, and that they would understand by your Holy Spirit and be equipped to pray into who and what who their children are meant to be and what they are created to do. Yeah. And I just pray all these things in the precious name of the Lord God Most High. And I thank you, Lord, for them taking time to spend with me in all that you've given me to carry and you've taught me to do. Yeah. Have a good night, you guys.